Again, it's good to see everybody out this evening, if at all are doing well. Again, always ask that you open up your Bible and follow along as we go through the lesson, through the truth to me and talk. Sometimes we may go out and we'll find signs, or you'll find little boxes that usually say, in case of emergency, right? In case of an emergency, call 911. In case of emergency, break glass. And they're there for emergencies, right? In that glass box, there may be an axe or a fire hydrant or a hose that is there so that you can take care of a certain situation. So, in case of emergency, there's certain things that you can try to do. There's certain things that are out there for us to do when an emergency comes up. And we'll make 2 points on that this evening. I got 3 points in the lesson, but 2 points into the main thing is, do we, in an emergency, call upon our God? Another point of, how often is it that we treat our God like that? That we just put him up on a shelf and say, in case of an emergency, then I'll go to God. And so, I'm going to start with the first point of, we need to use our God, use our Lord in emergencies. That's a good point to be brought out. That goes along with those things. In case of emergency, pray to God. In case of emergency, open up the scriptures and search it. In case of emergency, call on your brethren in Christ, right? We need to use God in emergency situations, in situations where we are struggling, in situations where our faith is hurting. We need to use God in situations, and even with our physical life, that God is there for us, that we can go to him in emergency. Right, in James chapter 5, James chapter 5, and verse 13, James 5, verse 13, and is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Right, and if we are suffering, we are supposed to go forth and pray. And further, as I kind of mentioned there at the beginning, we can even go to one another, right? And that's still using God, what God has given to us. Use those tools, right? We're to go forth and use our God for those situations. And he's blessed us with the church. He's blessed us with one another to lean upon. And so you look further into it. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so again, you go down this path of verses here, and when we just got done studying it recently, it seems a lot agree that it seems to be focused on the physical sick, the actual sickness there in the first few verses that we read. But then you come down to verse 16 and it even goes into our spiritual sickness, right? And so in either way, if we are caught up in a situation where we need prayers, where we are hurting, we are suffering, we are sick, we are going through where we have sinned, or we are struggling with temptation, then in case of emergency, what? Pray. Pray to God. And if your prayer don't seem to be going, doing enough to help you, assist you, go to the elders. And if that's not enough, ask the church. Let the brethren know what we can do for you. And it's all about us going to God together. I always love bringing out verse 17, right? Verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So here's one man, right? One man prayed, and it stopped raining. And then one man prayed again, and it began to rain. And so you use that, and you take that back to verse 16, where it says, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, if we got one righteous person praying for you yourself, but then you add on top of that the entire congregation and anyone else who they might have let know, and maybe other brethren. So you get more than one person praying the same thing. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. The prayer of righteous congregation, righteous men and women, praying the same prayer, praying for the sick, praying for your struggles, praying for you to overcome your temptation. Again, we need to use that. If it's an emergency, go to God. In Psalm 34, if you will, we're going to look at a few psalms while we're here. Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34, and looking at verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near those, right? It is what it says. The Lord is there, and He's near to those who are in a bad situation, those who are in a situation that needs somebody. You go back up to verse 17, it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Right? The Lord is there, and He hears the prayers. He hears us crying out to Him. In Psalm 50, if you will, Psalm 50, and looking at verse 15. Psalm 50, and looking at verse 15. It reads here, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Again, when we're in trouble, go to God. He, again, has proven Himself. He has proven His power in the creation of this world and everything in it. He has proven His power when He put the plagues upon Egypt, when He flooded the earth, when He allowed a young boy to defeat a giant, a champion of war and battle. And He time again shown His mighty hand. He's proven Himself in His love by sending His Son down to die for you. He's shown Himself in His patience with us and allowing us to be here today. And so, if we're in trouble, go to God in prayer. Psalm 55, in verse 22. Psalm 55, and in verse 22. Says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. God is there for you. We do a lot of things in precaution to keep ourselves safe here on earth, physically. Do we go to God and to our Lord in times of emergency spiritually? In case of emergency, go to God. But again, now the rest of the lesson, I want to go to that other point that sometimes, again, you see these glass cases. I don't remember the last time I've seen one, but I can picture them. And, you know, how long do they sit there and nothing ever happens to them? They're there for one reason and one reason alone. That's not how we should treat our God. That's not how we should treat our Lord. It's not in case of emergency, this is the only time we get to go to God. This is not the only time we get to go to the Lord. We need to be using Him always and not just in emergencies. We used a lot of verses this morning in our lesson that pointed that out, that we need to be living in Christ, right? Paul made that clear in Galatians and in Philippians that he said to live is Christ, to die is gain. He brought out that he had died with the Lord and now he crucified with Christ, and now his life is the Lord's. And so now we need to daily walk with God, walk
with Him in our lives each and every day. Turn along with me to Malachi, if you will. Or Micah. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6, and reading there in verse 8. Here it reads, it says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is not saying just in emergency walk with God. Just in emergency walk humbly. Just in emergency do justly and be loving. Right? This is a daily lifestyle that we're supposed to have each and every day. Every day we get out of bed and we how we're supposed to treat our spouse, how we're supposed to treat our children, how we're supposed to interact with our neighbors and the world. We have verses that talk about how we're supposed to love our enemies. It has what we need for our daily lives. We need to be walking with God each and every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and looking there and in verse 7. As it reads here, it says, For we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, when we take time to think about walking by faith, when we go forth and we usually apply, you know, James chapter 2, faith without works is dead, and it goes forth and gives us plenty of examples. Well, again, if we're living our life in today, and we go forth and we're not walking with God, are we walking in faith? And we're not making sure that we think about what we are doing, we think about what we say, and we think about how we appear. We're supposed to be walking with the Lord. Walking, as we pointed out this morning, as the temple of the Spirit. And so we daily walk with God. We daily continue to do these things. Psalm 119 and verse 105 there. Going forth again, the light, right? The Word of God is a light and a lamp. You can turn along with me there. Psalm 119. In verse 105, as it reads here, it says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Walk in the lighted path. Walk in the path that is lit up so that you can know where you should and should not be. Walk in the lighted path so that you don't get caught up and stumble and get hurt. And that's actually going to be leading into that next point, so I'm not going to go too far into that. But walk in that lighted path. Right? God has blessed us with a light so that you can see where you should go. You don't have to walk around blindly upon this earth. But rather, He's blessed us with the guidance that we need each and every day of our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians 5, verse 25. Here it reads, it says, If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, when we read these verses, they're not talking about the emergency situation. Right? It's not, God is there, so if you are just struggling and you're in hard times and you don't know what to do and you're unsecure, you're starting to get worried and anxious, now go to God. Yes, God is there for us in those situations, but that's not the only time in which we should call upon our God. And you see, if we walk with God each and every day, and we go back to the Psalm 119, 105, that we're walking in the lighted path, you know, it's actually going to help us to prevent some emergencies, right? Understand that we can't prevent all emergencies. We can't prevent all situations where someone is ill and someone gets in an accident and something happens. We can't control what other people do and the sin that they get caught up in. And we know that we do fall short. But if we're walking in the light path, that's going to help us from going down the wrong path to where we need to to desperately call upon God. To where we are in such a situation that we don't know how to handle it. That if we can learn to walk with God daily, then it'll help us from other situations, right? So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, and starting there, and in verse 5. As it reads, it says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self-control, and self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin." So again, if we are walking with Christ, and we are walking in the Spirit, and by faith, and in the truth, and we add to our faith these things, it says, you will be doing good. You will be on the right path. You will be producing fruit. You will be doing well. And again, it's just we're on the right path to good. But it says, if you lack these things, then you might cause up some trouble, right? It says, if you have become blind, you have forgotten that you were saved and why you were saved. You forgot that you've been cleansed from your own sins. You see how that can lead to more situations? That if you could just continue in the path that Christ has set for us. Again, not that it's always going to take care of every situation. But if we continue in that path, that it's going to allow us to be on the right path. It's going to allow us to miss out on some harsh struggles that we make for ourselves. Because when you start going down the path of sin, that's what it's going to do. It's going to lead to more struggles. You go down the path of being a drunk, it can lead to family problems, it can lead to money problems, it can lead to physical health problems. You go the path of a sexual and moral life, that it can lead to divorce, it can lead to disease, it can lead to so much problems there. That if you go down certain paths, that it's just hard to come back from. You go down a path of lying, and people start knowing you as a liar, no one's ever going to trust you. That you cause certain problems for yourself. Because we're not already walking the path with God. But we just put them over here and wait for emergency. We wait for only if we have to call on God. That's not what it's supposed to be. Romans 13 and in verse 3. Romans 13 and in verse 3. Reads here, says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same." And so, you know, as it goes forth and talks about it, submitting to the ruling authorities of the land, and it goes forth and says, if you don't want to be afraid, if you don't want to have to worry about certain things, if you don't want to have to be in an emergency, follow the rules. Obey them. And then you have nothing to worry about. You won't have to. And how many, again, I'm hoping no one's stolen anything recently. So who's at home worried about cops finding you out? Did the camera catch you doing it? No one's worried about it because you didn't do it. Right? You don't have to worry about something you didn't. But so often, again, people cause their own problems. Because we're not walking with God. And we're not listening to His instructions, His guidance. Because we didn't already put on the armor of God. Again, the armor of God's on. We wear that in case of emergency also. You know, when you're in an emergency, you're wearing it. And you're ready to go into battle. But if you already have it on and something comes at you, someone comes and tries to knock you back, you're protected. You're prepared for the situation, and it may not be an emergency because you already are prepared. Rather than them coming at you, and now you're like, oh, what do I do? What armor is going to protect me? How quick can you get it on? How fast can you bring up your sword? How fast can you find your shield? All right, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all this. If we had already been sitting there studying the Word of God, and we put on the truth, and we put on righteousness, and we put on peace, and we continue in our faith, and we carry the sword, then when something comes at us, we're not going to be scared and run the other way. But so often we look at that and say, well, that's in case of an emergency, we'll keep it right here. We allow it to get dust. We allow it to just sit there. And then our faith starts to decline. Our strength starts to go away. Again, it's easy for me to use the analogy of sports anytime because I do good for a little while and maybe exercise and push-ups and running. But then when you go away from it and I come back to it, it's just you get mad at myself every time because I know I was here and now I'm back down here. And then you got to work, and it seems it's like twice as much work, three times as much work than it was the first time you get up there because you've allowed it to go away. And when you allow it to go away, it always seems to just get weaker than it was the first time. And so I believe when you read Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That if we don't continue to listen to the words of God, we don't continue to study them daily, that our faith starts to decline. That yes, you gained faith the first time you heard it, the first time you realized it was the truth, and you continue to add to that faith and strengthen that faith so that you're not easily tossed to and fro when the winds come, the waves come. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that. Come forward and put on Christ that as you are baptized, washing your sins away, coming up in that newness of life, that you will gain strength in the Lord to walk with that faithful path and be saved. If you're here and you've been walking the path, but you've been struggling, but you've been hurt, and you need help and assistance, let us know what we can do. Always there.